Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Voice of Iowa women's basketball, Rob Brooks. Brooksy, how you been?
Good. The Steve Jones Show. I love that opening.
Well, they were trying to come up with a clever name. That's the best they could do. Rob, I would quick story for everybody. 1954, and no, I did not do the games, Rob. 1954, Penn State plays in Iowa City and beat LSU and Notre Dame to advance to the school's one Final Four. The play-by-play announcer was Bob Brooks, Rob's dad.
Yeah.
How about that?
See, when you talk about the Ironman back in 1939, he had to preface by saying, no, he did not do those games. Was there, but didn't do them.
Rob, I mean, I'm being around Dolphin and Podolak, you're used to police escorts. Although I like to point out that usually it's better when it's in front and not behind. But what has it been like, in your observation, about just getting from an airport to a hotel, getting from a hotel to an arena because of the situation surrounding Caitlin Clark?
Well, we're at Shoot Around right now in Bloomington. Yeah. And there's eight police officers surrounding the court. And that gives you kind of an indication of how things have changed this year. And really, the fact that you know, Steve, used to it in football, the police escorts, the seven or eight buses. Now we're up to two buses in basketball, police escorts to and from the arena. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, all these games are sold out and not used to women's basketball crowds like that in most places. And the ticketing has been general admission. So the season ticket holders obviously have a seat, but other than that, if you buy a ticket on a one-game basis, it's general admission. So what that turns into is fans wrapping around the arena in the middle of the afternoon. To give you a case in point, we're at Wisconsin in December, and they typically get 2,500 fans per game. There's 15,000 for this game. It's 27 degrees. It's a 2 o'clock tip, and at 6:30 in the morning, the entire Kohl Center is wrapped with people. And it's been like that just about every stop. So the traffic has been really tough. It's like a football Saturday, traffic-wise, everywhere. So, yeah, it's a police escort to and from the stadium, back doors at hotels, and, you know, just having a police presence at all times. Hard to get into a hotel elevator because people are, you know, milling around once they find out where the Hawkeyes are staying. It's been an experience from a basketball standpoint that you never thought you'd witness.
You've done a national championship game. That was last year. And now you're calling history. What has that been like for you, Rob?
Well, it's been a journey. It's never something you anticipate because, as you know, you're on sports for so long, you just can't anticipate that unless you're a handful of schools. If you're South Carolina women's basketball or LSU, you know that you pretty much got a chance to get there, but things happen. You know, at the University of Iowa, it's happened twice in women's basketball and have not been at the men's Final Four since 1980. So it's just not something you really anticipate. And even when they were playing well in the tournament last year, you still, okay, well, there's a lot of roadblocks to get to. Won the Final Four, won the championship game. But, you know, Coach Bluter did such a great job in, embracing all the fan attention and all the pressure to, hey, this is it. You got to get to the Final Four or bust, and talked about it, how it was a privilege to be in this position. And I think the team really embraced that and has continued this year. They've really handled this well. Caitlin Clark's handled it well. You think about the mental pressure that is on that kid, night in and night out. I mean, it's a show, right? I mean, people are there to see you. It's like going to a concert. You are there for a specific reason, for the most part. Now, it's a good basketball team, but you've got a star that people that don't even like basketball follow. And just how mentally tough that is, night in and night out, and still to perform. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, she doesn't have a 3-for-20 game or a 4-for-17 game. Might, obviously, shooting, great shooting nights, yes, and mediocre shooting nights, sure. But she can do so much else that you still can get that experience and get an idea what she's like. But that's been extraordinary to watch how she's handled that.
Away from the floor, how's she been? Because she, people forget she's 22. I mean, she's not 32, she's 22. So what, right. Away from the floor, how's she been?
I've always kind of termed it as what you see is what you get. She's very competitive. When it's time to be serious, it's time to be serious. But, you know, she'll joke around and just kind of blend in with the team. You know, on the road or, you know, pregame, postgame, you wouldn't have any idea that she's averaging almost 33 points a game and has the NCAA women's scoring record, and gets along with her teammates very, very well. Kate Martin and her are really, really good friends, and I think that was part of the reason why a couple of the Iowa players came back after last year that didn't have to, and just to embrace the experience and to play with her. And, you know, if you're a post player, why wouldn't you love that, right? I mean, you're going to get the ball in certain situations, and if you can make tough catches, so you got a chance to score a lot of points. But a very competitive person, very serious when it's time, but also we'll joke around and have a good time.
What about the ability of Lisa Bluter and how she's had to handle it? Because she has a star that is awesome to have, but you have to make it all work. What kind of job has she done in making it work?
Masterful. You know, I think you're right. I mean, that can be a blessing and a curse. And she has molded this player from when she was a freshman to now, improved every single year. And you got to remember, Megan Gustafson, who was here 5-6 years ago, was also National Player of the Year. Kathleen Doyle, 4 years ago, was Big Ten Player of the Year. She's coached 3 Big Ten Players of the Year and will be a fourth. Well, actually, Megan had 2. Caitlin will have 2. And then Kathleen Doyle. So that's 5 within the last 7 years, and 2 National Players of the Year. So development and, you know, just the ability to, you know, mentally get you ready and improve every single year, add things on the court, but also, you know, work on your demeanor, work on everything off the court as well. And I don't think it could have worked out any better for both parties.
All right. So, but what coaches can do is they do the great ones have the ability to accentuate what their players can do and then figure out a way to cover up a deficiency. All right. And if you can cover it up, it can work. No offense. I always talk about things in a basketball point of view. I can go all through the positives of Caitlin Clark, but the one negative to me, she's not a great defender. Lisa Bluter has done a great job of masking that, where she's good enough defensively based on what they're having her do. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think absolutely. And they aren't going to put her on the toughest opponent. One, because it's too taxing for 35 minutes.
Yep.
And number two, not the best defender on the team. But I'll tell you what, she has really improved her defense. I mean, basically, when she got to Iowa, you're in high school, you're the star, you're a 5-star recruit. You're not going to be a great defensive player, but she has that capability. She's 6 feet. She's long. And I'll tell you what, in certain situations, if you need a steal or if you need a ball to be tapped up in the air, she has done that. And I think what she has kind of learned is steals lead to easy hoops. And obviously with the defenses she sees being double-teamed and triple-teamed, okay, if you're going to average over 30 points a game, one, you got to get to the free throw line, which she does. But number two is how can you get some easy buckets in transition? And that's off steals. And I would say in the back half of this year, she has greatly improved in that aspect of it. This is a better defensive team than it has been in the past. And I think she's part of it where, you know, she's locking in intensely on that defensive end.
Youth is a disease and it can be cured. But when I saw her early in her career, freshman into her sophomore year, I didn't feel like she had great situational awareness. Now I feel like she orchestrates situational awareness to the highest level. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. I think you know, her freshman year kind of played like she was still in high school and didn't handle some of the tough defensive pressures at times, you know, trying to find that open teammate, and really embracing the assist and maybe taking some bad shots. And that has gone away. And you still have to let her be Caitlin, right? I think that's
yep.
a part
oh,
of
yeah.
the beauty of it. You know, it might be yep. a bad pass here or there to try to make that perfect pass, or, you know, a logo three when maybe you didn't need it. But that's okay. You have to live with some of that.
Name me a play that even surprised you, because you've called every shot of her career and every play of her career.
I'll give you a game. How's that?
Yeah, a game.
Go back to her sophomore year. This is the point in time where I said, okay, this can really be a thing. And it was kind of late January, her sophomore year. Iowa had a couple of key injuries to the starting five. So they're really down to like seven or eight, even total players, playing at Michigan, top five team in the country. And Michigan gets off to a great start and, you know, places rocking and rolling. Michigan has a lead of over 20 points through three quarters. Sunday afternoon, most teams, okay, let's go home. We don't play till Thursday. We'll regroup and we'll go on from there. And she came across the timeline, one step, started the fourth quarter, and fired a shot. Now, we've seen the long threes, not half court, in the midst of the game, knocked it down. Same, next possession, same thing, knocked it down. Then they start coming out. She dribbles around, then shoots a, you know, a 35-foot three, hits it, scores 25 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In 10 minutes, Iowa pulls to within five. It was basically 1-on-5. Michigan ended up winning the game. But I walked out of there and said, I've never, on TV, in person, seen anything like that.
Hey, you know,
and that's when you knew that, okay, this has got some teeth.
This is where I draw the comparison to Steph Curry. And it's good, and I think you'll find it interesting. The three isn't obvious, but to me, Steph Curry is the best in the NBA at layups, and I think she's the best in basketball at layups. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is, Stephen. You're exactly right, because you have to make those to average what those two players are averaging.
I mean, look at the,
you
the
watch
angles,
games,
the angles that she takes,
they don't go
everything.
In.
Yeah, I mean, the angle she takes and everything to make a layup. It's not simply like, oh, I'm laying it in. No, she does it with angles and purpose. She understands the geometry of it.
Right, and also potential contact. You know, there's always
yes.
somebody, you know, that's late on help or trying to slide over because, obviously, you know where she is on the floor all the time. And you're exactly right. You have to be able to execute those real makeable shots that, you know, quite frankly, you see a lot of players that can hit difficult shots, but boy, they'd average 10 points more if they took care of business underneath the basket.
Okay, the other part too is I'm watching the Penn State game, and she's dishing off one assist after another on a 48 point night underneath. I mean, that told me everything about her, the teammate.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, I think what comes across during the games and in practice, her teammates enjoy playing with her, and she enjoys them. And it's a great thing because you really see the joy on all of their faces, and they enjoy being around each other. And you see that night in and night out, and even after a tough loss, you know, the way that they've been able to bounce back, I think, you know, says a lot. Nobody points fingers, and the staff has a lot to do with that. And really try to embrace every single role on the team. A lot of people talk about it, but they put it to action and do it every day, and the players buy in.
What Lynette Woodard is next because of her AIAW stuff, right? And then it's then it's Maravich. Have you thought at all about the Maravich thing, considering circumstances and things like that? Because it's obviously would be a great moment.
It will be. It's 99 points, so I don't think it'll happen tonight.
No, it doesn't mean it's not possible.
might have a couple games to think about it. Yeah, I mean, obviously this was the big one because you could really compare, the games in the NCAA. You know, Maravich, when that happens, there'll be people to talk about, well, he didn't have any three-pointers and did it in 3 years and all that type of thing. But it is. I mean, you're still at the top of the list. She's only in her fourth year. It's not like she's a sixth-year senior or anything. Mm-hmm. So it will be. I'll think about it. You know, I'm not ever one to write anything down or
same here
or anything like that. But I'll think about it, and kind of how it comes out, it'll come out.
I'm the same way. It happens. I always tell everybody if it's a memorable call to match the moment, great. If it's not so great, they'll still remember the play. So
right.
I don't really worry about it too much. Rob, you're the best. No, you're the best. You did a great job with all this. They couldn't have handpicked anybody better to handle it than you. You've been terrific.
Well, appreciate it, Steve. I know you had a fun one last night. I watched the whole thing from the hotel room, and what an atmosphere that was.
Yeah, no, it was great. But you'll see a crazy one again tonight. You see a crazy one every night. So
it has been.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, and good luck to all of you out there. That's great.
Appreciate it, Steve. Great to talk to you. Hope to see you soon.
You too. Rob Brooks, the play-by-play voice, outstanding play-by-play voice of Iowa women's basketball. Just to give you a little insight on what it's been like traveling with the Caitlin Clark Show. And it's been a show. It's been a show. And Rob's had a front row seat to all of it.